said, I want to drive to Venn. And they stopped, and he said, well, I want to go to Venn. And he was in this utterly desolate mass of, and they said, you're right in the middle of the main street. You know,
sure.
What they contended, I'm afraid, is true, that we killed, that we knocked out churches and schools and killed an awful lot of people. The pretense that our bombing was so precise that it was a surgical instrument just isn't, it just wasn't true, you know. So that this is, as long as we're beginning to bomb them again, I don't think there's much chance of getting much done. If this, the chance of getting women, of getting the sick and wounded out, could only be done if it's, thought by them that it helped them with the American peace movement.
Can you think of anything that we as an independent organization can do that would be constructive in the other than just focusing attention as we have and trying to get better treatment and information about the men?
Well, that and the return of the sick and wounded.
Sick and wounded.
As being a gesture which would do them a lot of good with the American people. Mm-hmm. I think that's a terribly important thing. To continue, you know, but I wouldn't try to do what this administration is doing, trying to get make an issue of returning of our prisoners. You know, we get our prisoners back when the fighting stops, and we're never going to get the prisoners home as long as we continue the victimization of the war, and we continue to support the Chair government. They are condemned to captivity, continual captivity. I don't say it because I have a certain respect for the presidency, but I think it's really one of the most outrageous, to put it mildly, use of prisoners to get the American people to support the continuation of the fighting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says, I'm continuing the fighting in order to get the men home. That's nonsense. I don't know how many people believe that, but can you tell me?
It's difficult, very difficult to, I think, get an accurate reading on that.
Well,
and
I was very much impressed with this young man's sincerity, and he said he was going to check with me, and I think it would be very useful if he goes to Moscow and tries to see the North Vietnamese. He may not, how many of them are going?
I believe five.
Five. Well, I think it would be terribly important for them to go. They ought to see the, them. Principal job is to see the North Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm.
They won't, whatever progress they can make with the North Vietnamese is for the good, but I don't want to hold out any hopes that much will be, there'll be much success, but it'll be
beneficial.
Any indication that Americans care about the welfare of the North Vietnamese people and want to come on a basis for them when the war is over is a good thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The Quakers are good, any of these groups.
Right.
I don't like I don't like these extremists who are flying the North Vietnamese and BC flag. They do us damage, but I'm talking about good Americans.
The subdued efforts.
Huh?
The subdued, conscientious efforts that are being made.
Really, the one thing I do know about the North is that they want to be independent of China, and they want relations with us as Tito does. Well, the stupidity of what we're doing is we're fighting an Asian Tito, you know.
And
it just doesn't make any sense, you know. Our interest is to build up with the North a good relations in the post-war period. They're the most vigorous. Well,
Mr. Ambassador, thank you so very much.
I don't know if it's any good, but I do hope
you've been very helpful.
I do hope you encourage them to go. But get their sights down. They're not going to be able to do this ping pong.
Leave the ping pong paddles at
home.
Yes,
leave them out alone. Go for a limited objective. Go to show that they have goodwill. Go to show that if the North Vietnamese will show some goodwill to Americans such as they are, they'll get. It'll be good for them. You know, that sort of thing.
Very good.
Well,
Liz,
good luck, and
helpful.
I give Mr. Perez my warmest regards. I have no respect
will.
For him, and I think what he did was a not a drop in the bucket, but was a good splash in the bucket.
Well, that's good to know, particularly coming from you, sir.
Well, thanks a lot. Give him my best regards.
I will do that. Goodbye now.
Don Cole.
Don?
Hey, hi, Murph.
How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you.
I am told that you're the man that can answer questions regarding use of satellite. I'm thinking, I'm just doing some investigating a possible use for a closed circuit from Europe, and I was wondering two things. Number one, where the booking is done, if it's done, I'm in where in America. Number two, what kind of general figures are we talking about just for use of the satellite proper? I'm not talking about studio facilities on either end.
Well, round figures from London to New York is $2,500 for the first 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's $69 or $70 a minute thereafter. Hold just a second.
Okay.
I got a book here that has all these things. Is that where you're talking from, some European
yes,
point?
Yes, Paris.
Well, Paris is the same as London.
Right.
Between New York, London, Paris, or Frankfurt, either direction, $24.90 for the first 10 minutes and $69 for each additional minute.
Mm-hmm.
There's an $800 cancellation charge if you cancel with less than 12 hours notice.
Right.
There's a cancellation charge of $100 for any cancellation with more than 12 hours notice.
All right. Now, if you go into it and say, I want an hour, for example, blanket, do they have a flat hourly rate, or does it still use the $24.90 plus?
Shoot the $24.90 and 50 times 69.
And that's just a naked charge for the use of the bird itself.
That gets you from the gateway city,
right?
Which is, in your case, Paris.
Right.
And presumably you'll be coming out of ORTF in Paris.
Yes.
I don't know what the charges are between ORTF and the land and the ground station. I don't think there are any.
Mm-hmm.
But ORTF to New York, to toll test in New York.
Right.
Now, then you'd have landline charges from New York to Texas. If that's
right,
where
right. But this...
And that's one way, video and audio.
Right.
We always backstop it with an additional audio
right.
circuit, which is a two-way audio circuit.
Sure.
Which we can use interchangeably as coordination or backup.
All right, the addition on the audio is what, for the second audio line, the two-way?
Well, it's a radio circuit from Europe is $40 for the first 10 minutes and $4 a minute thereafter, including feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So that again, is Paris to New York, and you
right.
need to get your landlines in addition to that.
Very good.
They've changed the tariff, and I'm not too familiar with what the domestic landline tariff is.
Mm-hmm.
You used to be able to figure 10... or 15 cents a mile per hour.
Right.
Mile per hour.
Excellent. Don, I thank you a million.
Okay.
Normally, how much lead time do they desire in booking?
There's not a great deal of use. The networks use it in the late afternoon, you know, 4 or 5
right.
o'clock.
It is available 24 hours a day now and not at certain periods as in days gone by, right?
That's right.
That's
now, you can get on, you know, reasonably fast. The order has to be placed by the receiving organization. In other words, if you want Paris to feed you,
right.
you place the order.
Right.
And, of course, you will have arranged with Paris, and you will have contacts and names and so forth to give to the satellite people. So when the satellite goes to Paris, they say, well, Mr. Murphy Martin gave us the name of Mr. Adjedge or whoever it is.
Yes. Excellent.
Okay.
Don, thanks much.
Glad
good to
help.
Talk with you. Bye.
Bye.
Murphy Martin.
I have a collect call from Mr. Hart for Mr. Frank Gonder. Will you accept the charge?
Yes, Mr. Martin, yes. Mr. Gonder, go ahead.
Any talks this Friday, didn't
you? No, I did not wish to speak to Mr. Martin.
It's for Mr. Hart.
Mr. Hart's not in, operator.
Can we reach him at another
number? No, he's out of the city. If Mr. Gonder would like to talk with me and tell me what he has on his mind, I'll be happy to relay it. But Mr. Hart is out of the city and will not be back for some time.
Well, can Mr. Hart be reached?
No, he cannot.
I see. Well, no, that's who I wish to speak to, Mr. Martin. And operator.
Okay, that's all. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Murphy Martin.
Yeah, this is Brian Martin with NewsGen.
Yes, Brian.
Did you meet with Mrs. Johnson?
Yes. She came by here, and I'm still trying to get, they tell me that Lieutenant Governor's out of town, but I was trying to get to a member of his staff, and I just called him again a second ago, and they said that he's on long distance and will call back shortly.
Member of his staff will?
Yes, yeah. That's what he told me. Did you try to reach him?
Yeah, well, not yet. I was waiting on, you know, to see what you all decided about this letter that was written up this morning.
Yeah, I think the wives have decided to send that to him.
They have.
Yeah, but, yeah, you should call Mrs. Johnson and see, you know, exactly, you know, if, when they're going to send it or what they did and so forth.
Yeah.
But they came by here, and then I tried to reach the Lieutenant Governor to try to get a little more definition on the thing.
Uh-huh.
Because I think they need all the parameters before.
Right. Do you know if Mrs. Johnson headed back home after she left your office?
I think she did. I think she did, because she said something to have to, about having to get home to her children.
How long has it been since she left?
It's been about an hour.
Yeah. What did you think of the letter yourself?
Well, I thought that I can understand certainly the wives' feelings,
uh-huh.
But I told them that that maybe they should talk to the Lieutenant Governor and try to get a readout from him exactly on, because I think that they may be assuming that he's canceling the trip, period, which... I haven't seen anything that he has canceled it yet, you see.
Well, they haven't, I mean, they've been trying to get a hold of him in the last few days, and they have even talked to him.
They have talked with him?
It was my impression that they had.
I see. Well, I'm going to, and hopefully within the next 30 minutes, are you going to be at the office?
Yes, I am.
As soon as I talk to the member of his staff, I'll give you a buzz back.
Okay, I sure do.
Okay, thank you.
Goodbye.
Who's speaking?
Bob Hyman.
Bob, this is Murphy Martin in Ross Perot's office in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
I understand that sometime earlier in the week, I'm not sure of the date, Monday or Tuesday or sometime, but on your morning news around 7:30 or 8, there was a story about some boat or something sailing into Haiphong Harbor in connection with the prisoner of war effort. And in the story, there was some reference or mention to Mr. Perot being involved in the endeavor. And I'm calling to try to find out exactly, you know, what the story said, number one. Number two, to see if I can track it down, because we have never considered anything like that. We know nothing about it and so forth, and I thought maybe you could help me in two fronts. Number one, what it said, and then maybe we could...
Are you Mr. Burrow?
I am in his office, yes.
See, that, since it was aired last week, it'd be in our library department now.
No, it was this week, aired this week.
Well, anyways, it's not current. See, anything we air over the news, you know, if it's a day old, it's already in our library department.
Could you switch me to them then, please?
Yeah, okay, I don't guarantee they can help you right away, but...
Well, who can I talk to? Surely someone can dig into your files and tell me what...
Right. Well, see, usually do it by mail. But I'll go ahead and let you talk to them, okay? Hold on.
Hello?
Yes, may I help you?
Yes, this is Murphy Martin in Dallas. Is this the library department?
Right.
Good. I am in Ross Perot's office in Dallas, and we work on the prisoner of war issue, as you probably are aware.
Right.
And we had a telephone call this morning from somebody in California referring to a story that aired on your station, they thought either Monday or Tuesday morning, somewhere around 7:30 to 8 a.m., stating that someone planned to sail a ship into Haiphong Harbor, et cetera, in an effort to obtain release of the POWs. And in the story, there was some reference to Mr. Perot, and what I'm trying to ascertain is what was said, number one. And number two, if it was, as this person who called us heard it, would like to go on record to say that, you know, Mr. Perot knows nothing whatsoever about it, has no plans to take part in anything like that, nor has he ever had any plans to take part in anything like that.
I see. Well, I'm going to have to call you back as soon as I find anything on it. What is your number, please?
Well, can I hold, please, while you check your...
Oh, it's going to take just some time. I'm at the switchboard right now, so I won't be back in my office until about 12 o'clock.
This number in Dallas is Eric. Right. Now, could I talk with your general manager or your news director before hanging up on this call?
Just a moment, please. I'll put you with the general manager.
Thank you.
Mr. Schreiber's office?
Hello, this is Murphy Martin in Dallas again.
Yeah.
Were you able to find anything, or is Mr. Schreiber still busy?
Well, Mr. Schreiber's not in his office. He couldn't help either until we get the information from the news department, because
mm-hmm.
he wouldn't know. I'm waiting for the news director to come in, but he's not here yet.
Well, someone said he was in conference now or something. But,
Is he in? I didn't know. I haven't been back for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I will try to get back to you as soon as possible. I'll go back and push him a little more.
Very good. I would deeply appreciate it.
Okay, fine.
Thank you very much.
How are you for a couple of weeks? We had about a couple of weeks in July. I promised her for 8 years and I'd take her over there. And, well, I've been there. I've talked to her for 4 or 5 years. I'm going to Vietnam. I've been there about 9 times in the last year. And I never have stayed there, even overnighted, because I told her I'd wait until we could enjoy it together. And I think she's going to be able to see it. Everything goes in place in July. And I think that I'm going to take her on to Vietnam and to Laos. But things have toned down a little by then. And, I've been taking on in the other trip, because after all, there's a war going on there. And, but maybe her only opportunity to see it. We need to pick up. We've got another lady that's going to come and live with us for a year. The Vietnamese girl, 24 years old. His father is commander of a prisoner of war camp in South Vietnam. He and the North Vietnamese in the Viet Cong are held, and we got to know him and Russ. Decided we'd like to bring her over here, and he's working with the computers in South Vietnam. Bring her over and train her a year in our system, and let her go back. To be a much better employee. And anyway, she's living at our home, while she's here working and training for UDS. And we can pick her up, and it'd be a lot fewer headaches for her if we were to pick her up and bring her back rather than her travel alone and then do a train center and so forth. I'm not crazy. He's out of work with Billy with you. He loves her. Did you? He got him, I don't know if he mentioned to you, he bought some 22 walkers or something for the country. He's been putting them on horses around here, and they're undefeated two, and they're undefeated 2 9 shows. They're in first place. I made a got one called Tipple Slut that is a world champion. He bought it from a man named Mr. Bobo over in Strawberryville. And Mr. Bobo flies in to ride the Tipple Slut wherever he's going in the open division. And I want you to know to see that horse performing up there in Portland. Of course, he's got his kid riding in the novice classes. He's got a 10-year-old daughter. 10-year-old daughter and a
still with me?
Yes, sir.
Well, Mr. Martin, I've gone through the Monday script, and the other one's going to take just a little bit more time. You can stand by.
Yes,
you
know, I can, sir.
The problem is that we start a new filing system on Monday, which requires my going through a 2-inch pile of papers, single papers, whereas the other one I had the script per hour, you know?
I see.
On Monday we could not have used it. Now I got to check this file here and I can tell you.
Good.
Stand by 1 second.
Please. I will do. Thank you. Did it follow in that order? They passed a resolution first, and then spoke.
They did it after he had in the resolution time period of their convention.
Mm-hmm.
But these people are laying in wait in ambush. He's trying to just make this thing look like a political fiasco that Barnes is trying to do, and that's the last thing I want. Of course, Murphy, I think. Probably 1,000 of these 1,300 people are going to be extremely disappointed and disgusted to go on a trip and not get to see anyone and not accomplish anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we're going to have to if these women, of course, I believe strongly, and I want to help them. I'm thinking about maybe sending. Maybe sending someone to represent this group. What do you think about that? Sending people to represent the group over there to let them know that 1,300 Texans did make reservations to go, did put up their money, are interested if they can get an audience. Or if, what do you think about this?
Well, if you can get an audience, I think it would be good for you to go to see the North Vietnamese in Paris. Even if you just go alone or with a small contingent,
yeah.
And then come back and report directly, number one, by mail to these 1,300, and then publicly anything after that. I think that you may find that you may have some bargaining power, Ben, in telling the North Vietnamese that. Now, we're not trying, we don't want to embarrass you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that it would be worth your while to sit down with the representative of this in lieu of, in other words, try to get something for not coming. And I think you may find them receptive, and I think you may find them also doing some good to remove some of this frustration that exists because the trip doesn't take place. Now, I have no earthly idea, and you probably have a much better one as to the feel of the people that the majority of the people that had made plans to go, how they would feel about something like that.
Well, I think this right here, I think for two reasons. I think because I'm an announced candidate in politics, Robert's going to scream and raise hell about this. I think your idea is good, but I think someone probably should go other than me, someone that's not in politics to get this delegation, where the publicity surrounding it would not look like it's political in any way whatsoever, but someone that can speak for these 1,300 people. And are you and I on the same wavelength? I feel that it should not be me. This trip shouldn't have any damn political tones whatsoever.
Well,
Well, I agree there. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I think you probably would have, even if you went to Moscow, Ben, you may have caught some brickbats from those people that were looking for reasons to throw brickbats, you see.
Yeah, but he's read them the message that we got from the Russian consulate, and when we requested admission over there, and then they said that we suggest you talk to the peace talk group.
Now, this is the Russians. The Russians are saying this.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, obviously, they do not intend to. It was a nice way, from what we can find out, talking to other people who've worked in the State Department and people at Temple New, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was a nice way of saying, don't come here. If you want to talk to anybody, go to Paris and try
mm-hmm.
to talk to that delegation.
Mm-hmm.
So the best intelligence that we can come up with, and mind you, this is only a suggestion, but we're just stacking straws, and you and
right.
I knock them down here any way we want to.
Right.
What would be your reaction to, rather than taking the whole group on a milk run if we can't see anybody, is to pick out five or six very influential, well-known cross-sections of people. Man, we've got a hell of a storm going here. Anyway,
that's probably the one we had this morning.
I bet it is. Lightning and rain and
right.
thunder and just can't see across the street. But anyway, and go ahead and come up with some kind of a release. And now, I haven't talked to Ben about this yet, so
mm-hmm.
I'm just talking
mm-hmm.
between you and me right now.
Right.
And come up with a release and say that we have repeatedly been turned down. We have made inquiries. We cannot get in to see the people in Moscow. We have no indication whatsoever from them at all that they let us visit with the delegation at the peace talks in Hanoi. You know the details more than I do. But along these lines, and we feel it would be foolish to create false hope and to take the entire delegation there when they repeatedly turn us down. But we're going to send this group over and with sincere hopes that they will be able to talk to them and represent the views of all these people, take letters from them, who they are, you know, that sort of thing. Now, I don't know if that will work or not.
Well, I question doing that before making an application to the North Vietnamese directly in Paris.
Right.
Because it just may be that they would see you. As I said to Ben this morning, I think if he were to fire off a cable to them today and request an appointment, tell them that he's speaking for 1,300 or whatever number it is on the trip that have made reservations to go, I think that he's going to catch a tremendous amount of flack if he doesn't try
then
to get an appointment.
Then if we at least say talk about cancer, then send another delegation or smaller group.
That's right. I think you've got, I think that you, the flack that you're going to catch, and you're going to get some.
I agree with that, yeah.
Unless you do try to get the appointments, because there are a lot of people who feel that, or at least those that call our office.
Yeah.
And the street talk, a lot of people feel that unless he tries those avenues, that's the only way that they're going to question his overall.
Let me ask you something just between you and me, since I know nothing about this whole operation.
Right.
Hear that?
Yes, that's thunder, isn't it? Lightning.
It is. What was the agreement, or how did this thing come about, and who was to do what? Now, I have gathered all kinds of information in on it today, and I could believe just about anything.
All right, now the last, you know how it all started, of course, you were there with the joint session.
Right.
But the last thing that we knew, whenever it was, two or three weeks ago, when I saw you down there, we had a meeting with George and Larry and
right.
several people
right.
and so forth.
Yeah.
At that point in time, there was some concern expressed that if they could not get into Russia,
right.
That serious consideration should be given to canceling the trip.
Right.
Well, we went on record at that time. We said, well, we think you ought to give,
the North Vietnamese.
You ought to touch every base because you're going to have some unhappy people if you don't, if you try to cancel the trip simply because you don't get into Moscow. Because there can be some mileage out of this by going to Paris. Now, some of those present said that, well, it'll be just another Paris trip. Well, I don't think when you put 1,300 people together, it can be just another anything.
Not if you explain that we contacted the Russian consulate, and they advised us that deal directly with these people. Now we've contacted them, and they will accept us or something.
Right.
You know, that's right.
That's right. And in other words, what I'm saying is, let's pursue it as it was. I'm speaking from the from the standpoint of getting the most effect for the guys sitting in those camps over there, and that's the important
thing. That's what we're after.
That's what we're after. And I think that every effort should be expended to make sure that the trip could be made. And then if nobody is going to see anybody, then you can go to these fallback positions and go to your smaller groups or to Ben or something.
I agree with that completely. Now, then, one other thing. What, in making the arrangements and getting the people invited, et cetera, what, did Ben agree to the responsibility of contacting these people, or did Ross agree, or what?
No, this was all done out of Ben's office.
Everything was to be done. All of the appointments,
applications, reservations, and everything were done. The mailing list came out of Ben's office, and the reservations came to his office, and so forth. We have had nothing to do other than an advisory, you know, if somebody needs help or some advice.
Okay, well, this clears up one thing. One of his staff members informed me that he thought that y'all were the ones to make the inquiries to the State Department, that sort of thing.
Right, well, we said we would be happy to do that, but as a result of the last meeting down there, everybody said just hold status quo till we pursue this Russian thing, so we pulled off and haven't done anything further. Except that the man who handled all the travel arrangements on both our trips over there has been working very closely with your office. He is a vice president at Braniff. He has 4 Braniff planes and 2 American Airlines planes on standby. There is no financial commitment there yet.
Can we, if something happens, say in a week we get a reply back from these people and saying no, can we still return people's deposits,
sure,
et cetera?
The cutoff date is July 1.
Okay, we don't have to say that publicly.
No, but the cutoff date is July 1 for this reason. You have deposits for 1,000 hotel rooms in Paris, holding those rooms for... Understand it from Harry McKillop. The money will be totally refunded if cancellation of the rooms is made by July 1.
Okay, so what I need to do is to dig up some kind of an address on these people and get a telegram off to cable off to them today.
That's right.
requesting
a meeting during the week of August 1.
Okay, and with representatives from our group of 1,300 citizens.
That's right, and also issuing an invitation if they would like to visit and address, speak to the 1,300 Texans.
Okay. All right, now then, should we include Mr. Perot's name in it?
I think not for this reason. For this reason, and this is the only reason Ross has remained on the sidelines and in the background, we think that'll be a negative on your trip if his name is mentioned. It'll build, there's some built-in hazards there because they're not too fond of him.
Okay. I'll get back to you.
Very good, Ralph.
Okay.
Thank you now. Bye.
Good. I thought I would call and check. I tried a couple of times, and you were still out, and see if you had any word maybe on mail. Were you able to reconcile that in any way for these?
Well, I think the biggest word you've got is this morning's news.
Right.
And I guess that's
proposal.
The most important thing that's happened.
Sure. Sure.
I hope that you're going to put some pressure on the president to accept this.
I haven't seen a total readout yet. Was there a set time pattern involved? Did they say this year?
If the date is set by the end of the year.
The date is set by the end of the year or prior to the end of the year. What I mean by that, they want the final withdrawal date.
They want the withdrawal by the end of the year.
By the end of this year. Right.
And the prisoners will be released on a phased basis, and the first prisoners, both north and south, will be released on the day that you set the date, and the last one will be out on the day that the last soldier is out, which would be the date that is set.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not clear and what everybody has been yelling for, then I don't know what is left.
Mm-hmm. Well, that certainly removes that, what apparently in the minds of some controversial word disgust to release. They've been arguing about the word discuss and its relationship to the word release, and that should certainly remove that connotation from anybody's
mind. Well, it should remove everything, it seems to me. If all the objections have been that there was no certainty about the release of the men, and that they couldn't release, or they couldn't withdraw troops until they had some guarantee that the prisoners would be released. And this is the guarantee.
Was I assume that it is also for Laos and
No, this is Vietnam. We have a separate war going in Laos.
This is does.
Well, and the Vietnamese don't speak for the Laotians.
But it
Laotians
it includes,
have made their deal.
It includes the National Liberation Front.
Yeah.
For and
the
North Vietnam.
The DRC and the DRV.
Right. It's very interesting, and I am very happy that there is some movement there. And I, like you, I hope something can reach fruition here.
Right. I think this is what people have been screaming for. Now they've got it. Now it's up to Washington. Make the next move.
Has Washington made any reaction? I've been out making a speech, and I don't even know. I just
no,
heard
I
on the radio.
No, I think that they're just saying that they're giving it careful study.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they're going to start hedging and moving off the prisoner issue and now saying, well, we can't ditch the Saigon government, and that's going to be the new preposterous position that they're going to use as a rationalization for not withdrawing and for not setting the date. And if that's the case, which it looks like it will be, then it's just going to prove further to the people that we're all in the middle of a big game that they're playing.
Why do you think it looks like that will be the answer? What?
Because it doesn't look at all like Nixon is prepared to set the date, because he's not willing to, quote, ditch the Saigon regime.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's got to be forced to ditch that regime, because it certainly doesn't stand for anything that any decent American would support.
What did you find? Did you by chance see any of the camps in the Hanoi when, on this trip?
I didn't go to Hanoi.
Oh, I thought you were going to Hanoi, too. I misread. I thought you were
I was in Paris.
I see. Well, I thought you were going to Hanoi, too.
No.
But, well, that's good, Cora. It's a big day, and I hope that people don't blow it. It would be nice to see the whole thing.
Well, it's up to people to be sure that it's not blown.
That's right. You're absolutely right. Well, hopefully we will see in the next 24 or what can be the soonest hour some positive reaction to it.
I hope so.
I would hope so.
Okay.
Nice to talk with you.
Bye.
Bye.
Trying to establish a law institution, their institution of freedom and free speech and our educational system. Our whole society has been built on the basis of good religious principles.
Well, we know there's been a lot of work go into this year's observance. How is the organization of Honor America Day events coming along all across the country?
Most of the cities have already organized their 4th of July celebrations. We have written most of the mayors and sent them material which we think might help them a little in organizing what they're going to do on Our America Day. This has been helpful to them. We're hoping that more cities would have celebrations. Of course, a lot of cities have stopped having them, you know, because so many people go to the country or go on trips and leave town. And there's been quite a change in celebrating the 4th of July. We received numerous letters now from cities who say that this is the first time they've had a celebration in some time, and they're going to start doing it again. You know, there's so many destructive forces in our society today that could really destroy this nation. Great empires and great nations have gone by the board because they've succumbed to some of the evils which we have in our own society today. And I think it's really important that we call the attention of all Americans the fact that if we don't live right and stick to some of the ideals that have made this country great, then we're going to be in trouble. We could go the way of some other great civilizations who have been great at times and gone to the board.
Well, your group has been working extensively with the news media, particularly radio and television stations. Would you tell us what we might anticipate as a result of what you and the committee have been doing?
We have had a movie produced, a colored film, 30-minute film, covering our last year's 4th of July celebration. It's an inspirational and patriotic movie called Proudly They Came. And it will be shown on some of the networks. We hope all of them. We do have a commitment from NBC NBC is going to carry it nationally on at 1:30 on Sunday, the 4th of July. The president is speaking for about a minute, giving a message to the country. Jimmy Stewart narrates the film. The film covers the best parts of our last year's program and has been brought up to date by a lot of additional information that's very interesting. I think it will be a real thrilling film to show to the country. The Congress, both houses, the House and the Senate, are going to see it this afternoon. We've showed it around the country to different groups. In fact, we showed it in Philadelphia last weekend to these wonderful young people that came there, and about 50 leaders from around the country received awards. And they thought it was great. They were really short, and you get a standing ovation. It's wonderful. Well, I think that'll be a good thing for this 4th of July, and I hope a lot of people will see it.
Well, you're going to have quite an observance out in Oklahoma City.
There's some real stars on that show. Astronaut Gene Sherman, the Apollo 10, Miss America of 1971, Dale Robertson, Master of Ceremonies, Les Brown's band, Chill Will, the Western star, you know, K-Star, the new Christy Minstrel, the Johnny Unitas, Mickey Mantle, Steve Owens, U.S. Army band and chorus, the Bob Hope Show. So I think it's going to be a great show. It'll be Sunday night.
Now, Atlanta, Georgia, is another active city in your July 4 festivities.
Well, Atlanta, they have a big parade, something like the Pasadena, California parade in a way, I guess, but it's a big 4th of July parade with bands and horses and floats, and Billy Graham will be the grand marshal. Then evening, they have a big program there. It's a salute to America. Billy Graham is going to do everything he can to promote this day as a Mountain America Day.
Well, Mr. Marriott, you're a genuine testimonial to what a person can do with his life in this country. Are the values that guided you as a young man to the success you enjoy today still with us and appropriate to one's life in a changing, restless, and complex society?
I think they're more needed today than any time in my life. Of course, I was fortunate enough to grow up in a religious family, and what a success I've had. I really owe it to my religion, because my church affiliation and my religion helped me to establish good ideals and have good habits, and to try to do something worthwhile in life and develop my talents and work hard, try to be constructive. And I think that kind of a background has really helped me tremendously in being successful in my business. And in working and developing my business, I've tried to adhere to those Christian principles that I've been taught all my life and have really been a part of my life. And I think that today we certainly need religion in government and in business and in our profession and everything we do, because as you know, our crime rate has increased tremendously. This idea of free sex and freedom to do what you want to do, that just weakens the whole society. A lack of discipline, I think, is probably the worst evil that's hit us, because, you know, I don't think anybody can amount to anything without some discipline. I don't think we can develop character or anything unless we discipline ourselves to work and to do the right thing. So I feel that today we really need these principles, which a lot of them have become so unpopular with a segment of our society. I still think that the great majority of Americans are good, honest, religious people. But, you know, a few rotten apples in a barrel can spoil the whole barrel. But I think that all Americans should get busy and try to get our thinking straight and get back to these good, sound, honest, and decent principles that have made us great.
Well, you just returned from Philadelphia, and you visited with a large group of youth there. Would you tell us about this visit, and perhaps you'll tell us what you feel to be appropriate to the young people today who might have lesser faith than those young persons you saw in Philadelphia?
Well, I just came from Philadelphia, where I attended the meeting of the American Academy of Achievement and received the Gold Plate Award for one of the achievers. But they had about 200 young men and women there from all over the United States, honor students from high school. Most of them had won awards in their own states. They had been oratorical contest winners, and they were really the top students of the state. And these were wonderful young people. They had all accomplished something. They were hard workers. They were not a bunch of hippies. They were kids that had learned to discipline themselves and learned to work and had developed their talents and really accomplished something. They're the kind of young people that are really going ahead and are going to be our leaders of the future. I talked to young people, and I told them that I congratulated them on using their time beneficially and not wasting it. Not say in the park playing the banjo, but getting in and working night and day and doing something to develop their talents. And I was a real inspiration to see those fine young people who had really done something and had used their time profitably and were developing their talents and were on their way up and climbing to the top. And I'm sure they will climb to the top if they keep it up. But the two things I think that young people must do, one is discipline themselves and get this idea out of their minds that they've got to have complete freedom to do what they want to do. Because that sort of thinking, I think, would destroy any young person or any people. We've got to realize that we've got to sacrifice. We've got to discipline our lives if we do want to accomplish anything. And the other thing is that we've got to work. There's no substitute for work. A lot of us want to get by with a few hours of work as we can, but I think to be successful in any walk of life, we're not going to be able to work 6 or 7 hours a day. It's going to work all our waking hours almost. I know that's what happened to me, and if I'd taken a soft job and an easy job, I'd have still been working at $300 or $400 a month. But I think that work and discipline and good habits are the things that will really make a young person and help them find the ladder of success and be successful and happy.
Thank you, Mr. Marriott, and we appreciate your talking with us about Honor America Day.
It's been a real pleasure, and I want to say that we appreciate what the National Association of Broadcasters have done to help us distribute information on Honor America Day.
Thank you. This is Bill Mansfield reporting from Washington.